saying, God, may your purpose prevail in this nation. And you thwart the plans of the enemy for destruction. And you raise up a people of power and praise. That this nation, it'll be said of them, they are a people who serve the Most High God. And God has taken care of their nation. And it's a miracle in the sight of the nations. So Lord, we thank you for this testimony. Not looking back and saying, well, we've had our grace period and the window of opportunity has been missed. And now it's downhill from here. We take authority over the lies of the devil. And we declare the best is yet to come in the name of Jesus. This country will prosper. It will be blessed. And God's purposes will prevail. Can you say amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks to the musicians. You guys have done really well today. And such good feedback from last night. Sounds like there was a lot of fun. Sorry to have missed it. Yes, we also got home at 1 o'clock this morning. These kids today know how to wedding party, wedding party, wedding party. And it was a good time had by all. Also, I got good feedback from Greg Haswell's visit last week. Some folk have mentioned to me. Amazing thing. If you weren't here last Sunday morning when Greg was here, it's on our website. You can get it at the podcast, the Highway podcast. It's a message worth listening to. Amazing thing was, I never gave him any brief on what we were speaking about, what the topic in the church was, the whole Ephesians 2, grace leading to a good work. And I believe it was just spot on down that line. So, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't even need us to brief people. And also, once again, sorry to have missed that. But Bill and myself had an amazing time in Livingston with a group of about 50, 55 church leaders from different denominational backgrounds. We got to minister in some of those churches. I preached in a Presbyterian church last week. I'll have you know, without a collar. And I met the most delightful reverend. And we got chatting, and what a man of God. What a humble, authentic representation of the gospel in a church, similar type of church to this, with Hillsong music, a great young band. I mean, it's everything un-Presbyterian what you imagined, okay? I've got some very good friends in the Presbyterian church, and they'll be proud to know that I mounted their pulpit. The conference went well. Bill's been doing an amazing job in Livingston. Bill and Anne, they've been meeting with leaders. They're working with Africa Enterprise to get a citywide crusade. It's brought a lot of unity amongst pastors and different groups and denominations. And my privilege was to go in and just share around this good news of the new covenant. You know, we've got good news, church. And I get to talk to pastors individually. And during the conference, the 3 days of conference and sharing around the new covenant, the guys were just coming and getting so excited about our journey, our story, Highway to Grace, and some of the stuff we've been through and some of the stuff we've learned along the way. And there was such an openness and a teachableness and a humility. We sometimes forget what we got because we get blasé. Once you've kind of enjoyed the freedom for a while, you can get a little bit lackadaisical about it. But these are guys who understand the contrast to some of the stronghold religious denominational mindsets. And then this good news that comes in and just is refreshing. And Bill got really good feedback from the time. In fact, Bill came to me and said, Steve, I've been in this church for 12 years, but I've never heard this message put so succinctly and clearly. And I thought, well, coming from Bill, that's quite interesting to hear. And it's kind of made me realize that just because something we taught 5-6 years ago doesn't mean we haven't kept growing in our understanding of the new covenant. So I've put something together for August that's at the back of the notices, the 4 Sundays of August. If we don't understand righteousness, we don't get the gospel. The second week, if we don't understand the covenants, we don't get the Bible. And we get that all mixed up and put things in the wrong places. And the next week, if we don't understand our real identity, we don't get our full potential as believers. And if we don't understand our authority to reign, we don't get how the kingdom of God can invade our world. So be praying for us, and also invite some people. This will be helpful for new people coming who've never heard the gospel. It'll be helpful for religious people who need a mind change. And it'll be helpful for us to make sure we're progressing in ever expanding, increasing cycles of revelation. We are a church called to preach the good news. Man, God's got his churches to do self-improvement courses and how to have a better this and a better that, and 4 points to, you know, being more entrepreneurial and more successful and more financially astute. And all those things are good and got their place. This church has been called to preach the gospel. And the gospel is the new covenant. And this new covenant is the bedrock of a changed society. So be praying for us, and you'll see it'll come up on the church Facebook, the advert. Why don't you, what's that thing? Resend. Share. Thanks. When you see it there, share it. Say, well, I don't know all my friends to know what we do. You know, I've got some, you know, unsaved friends, and they might think I'm a bit weird if I just do it anyway. Come on, get the word out. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends. This is the best news they will ever hear. Amen. So, on that positive note, we're going to take up the offering. At the same time, we're going to pass some clipboards around, because there's some folk in the church who have been visiting for a while, and they would like, we're having a Tuesday night new membership class, and I would like to, not those who've already written their names down, and those I've already met with, but if you would like to come to Tuesday night, write your name down with a contact number, and then pass those clipboards around. And then after the service, I'm going to jump up again, and I'm going to ask you to meet for just 5 minutes. I'm not going to keep you longer than 5 minutes in that back room there. See where the love, grace, peace signboards are? In the toddler's room there. I'm going to meet with you for just a few minutes. So if you write your name down, we'll meet with you there. Then just before we take up our morning offering, it's month end. Tell the person next to you it's month end again. Here we go. Pastor's going to let us know what the situation is. Yes, I am. Well, the good news is we are 65% on budget for the month. You know, we have our normal running expenses as a local church. And of that, we are at 65%, but you will realize it's the 30th today, which means we need a miracle. So that I can stand up, or James can stand up, or one of the leaders can stand up next Sunday and go, yay, guys, guess what? And we're going to do this every month. Because we don't use Malachi to make people feel guilty, but we want to tell you about the blessings of God's favor. So, will you agree with me for a miracle between now and next Sunday? Because this is not my burden to carry. Let me say that again. This is not my budget to carry. This is our budget to carry. Hello? So that's me. It's me. So this is our budget to carry. And we're 65% there. So this morning, why don't you just raise up one hand and just agree with me. Father, thank you for resources to meet every need in this house according to your riches in glory. Thank you, Lord, that little becomes much when it's put together in the hands of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, this is a house where the gospel will be preached till you return. Amen and amen. Thanks for that. Thanks, guys. Am I through everything here? Just to say, God's cupboard got set up at the front there. That's fruit parcels that are collected for needy families in the church. You know how that works. You give 10 rand, they buy an item with your 10 rand to fill the basket. The Haswell sermons, there are 10 copies in the bookshop for those who wanted those or ordered those. And that's it. Now, for the best part of the morning, all the way from Tingani Church in Manguzi, my very good friend Bethwell, and Terry and myself and Bethwell have had a relationship now for a couple of years. Bethwell came up to the Drakensberg a couple of years back when Rob met with leaders from around the country. Bethwell and a few other pastors, Stuart Agnew, who did our leaders camp, and some other guys, you know. And we went away for a couple of days with Rob, and it's just been delightful ministering with Bethwell. When we go up to Manguzi, he's one of the good-looking, refined, regal gentlemen that we have privilege to minister with, and we've ministered into his church, and it's just wonderful. He's got Ndumisi, Ngiza Kuluma isiZulu kancane. But it's great to have you with us, Ndumisi, and Bethwell. Don't you want to come up, Bethwell? And as you do, let's just welcome him from Manguzi. I phoned him yesterday saying, I've just got back from Zambia. I'm kind of struggling to get the flu off my back. I've got a wedding coming. Have you got anything you want to preach? And he says, grace teaches us. So, Lord, we thank you for a teaching from a man of God who you've called and anointed, and that he has a word that's relevant. And we open our hearts and ears right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a wonderful thing just to be here. Thanks, Bob Steve, for hosting me here. And thanks to Bob Terry for hosting us with Mom Jolene in their home. We had a good stay. Also, greetings to our old friends who are just here. We have Bob Rob, a guitar man. We used to say he's a guitar man in Manguzi, because he just came at one time just to sing with our Sunday scholars and impacted them by playing a guitar. I can assure you, we have bass guitars in our church. We've got bass guitars now and keyboard players. Some of those people were just maybe Sunday scholars. Now they're leading in music in the church. Amen. I remember, I don't know, there is other Rob you once came up with. And after he visited our church, oh my goodness, I don't see him here. You are too many. And he was touched by the Spirit of the Lord. He organized his boys. Our house was not wired for electricity. And he came, they electrified our house. They gave a tank, and I want to tell him we've extended the house through God's grace. All I'm saying is, I'm not a stranger at Highway Church. For some years, Bob Terry has led the team to our place. I'm not only here just to come and preach, but I'm just here to service our relationship with the team. I represent other pastors from Kosi Bay and the ministers fraternal. I'm a publicity person in the fraternal. Fortunately, don't listen to Ukozi FM. But when there are things that touches the church in our area, or maybe when there are problems, and they just want the view of the pastors, I am the one who goes on media to speak about the things that are affecting our society. You have heard about maybe the killing of albinos. I always pass at the place where the pieces of an albino person were buried. And there is a stone where our municipality that is just erecting there. We had to stand up as pastors because one of those people who were just stripping the bodies of that girl was a bishop. And so the church had to come out clear. And the pastors had to show up to say what is happening. We stood. I love the message of grace because while others, they think grace is a license to sin, I think they've got the wrong definition of grace. Once you think it gives you a permission to sin and always come back to God and ask for forgiveness and use the verses in the scriptures to say God says he's faithful to forgive us, and you sin intentionally and you use those scriptures, you are just as the same as the people Paul preached to when he preached the message of grace. Because when Paul was saying, when sin abounds, grace abounds more. Oh, then they went out. They say, have you heard Paul? He said, the more you sin, the more you qualify for grace. That's how they took it. And it became an ideology that, look, guy, if you want more grace, you have to sin more. That's why when you look at the next chapter, Romans chapter 6, he says, are we going to remain in sin so that we receive favor, grace? No. And so we stood up there. I mean, they know under the circumstances we operate in Manguzi. But we are brave. All I want to say, when you are consumed into grace, because for me, from all other many definitions of grace, grace is enablement. Grace is enabling force. Grace is a divine ability. From all I've said, there are no words. You don't have anything you have contributed there. You are made. Because when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and are filled by the Spirit of the Lord, you get wired with an ability inside of you. Praise the Lord. You get wired. And you see, this wiring at times will stir anger when you see evil. Amen. It will stir anger. You see, I mean, this past week, I've been just preaching to politicians because we're just running to elections. So about 2 weeks ago, in a gathering at the stadium, we organized a prayer, and they said I had to pray for candidates who want to go for election. I thank God for that opportunity. Because you know, brother, my sister, what grace does, it gives you boldness not to fear anyone. You confront even lions in their face. You tackle the bull by its horn. When the grace, I mean, you develop a divine anger when you see people getting corrupt, when you see people eating at the expense of the poor, when you see people just, they give people t-shirts and all the poor people does is to elevate, I mean, they're just conveyor belts. They put people into position. You say nothing about their education. You say nothing about their, I mean, their upliftment. You only want their votes. And I stood up. I said, if you can't lead yourself, you can't lead us. And I tell them, if you can't lead your head, if your head is still heavy on you, you can't lead me. You can't lead me. You have to lead yourself first before you lead me. Because I'm a supernatural person. I'm above politics. I'm not under politics. And they know in our area. I say, I am above politicians. Because the stuff I have does not expire. They have got a term of office. I don't have a term of office. The message I have runs across. And so I told them, I read the Malachi chapter 3. Can you believe teaching about it, about tithes to unbelievers, politicians who are just angry, want the power? And I was not saying they must tithe. I was not saying that. But if you go at the scripture, you find God saying, I can hear what you are saying. You are saying to me as God, God is unfair. I can hear you talking among yourself. You are saying, you said, God, if we give tithe, you are going to provide. You're going to give us blessings more than we can carry. But all we see corrupt people rising in front of us. We see them building towers and are not suffering any consequences. But we who are called by your name, we are suffering, we are behind. You said we are not going to be the tail but head. But Lord, all we see is just like we are tails. And he said, look, and I also just went to another scripture in Psalms chapter 14. I was speaking to these guys before I prayed for them. I said, if you want votes because you are hungry for our resources, we are going to pray for your downfall. I was saying that. We are going to pray for your downfall. Ladies and gentlemen, the poor are becoming a majority. Unless we are consumed by the message of grace, and you are bold to stand. I love the Zimbabwean preacher these days. We have risen up. I mean, you look. Okay. Let me just come open. I support it. I don't know most of his basics. But that a man of God, when seeing dictatorship rising to the windows, when seeing people scattered all over the world, and we still appreciate a person that's got good English and good debating skill, I don't know. I mean, what will it help if maybe our Steve is good in debating, but all his messages are scattering you away? And then we say, he's a powerful man. Because when he preaches, everybody leaves the church. Because this is what we're saying about Zimbabwean president. That's what we're saying. We're saying he's a good man. But look, I mean, you can't be a good person if you can't just attract people. Because any leadership is about people. If people run away from you, you are no longer a leader. You are no longer a leader. I mean to say, even in our area, even in my church, I've got powerful Zimbabwean evangelists in my church. You go to UK, US, everywhere, powerful resources are outside the country. And a man of God rose these days, said enough is enough. You see, when you are consumed by grace, it stirs anger in you. To stand, to say, it's a do or die, but this can't continue. And even in South Africa, the time has come. Because the poor are going to rise, and they have started rising against the rich. Amen? If we ignore them, we are going to forget even to eat the bread on the table. Because they're becoming a powerful force out of hunger. One message I said to you also last week when I was just speaking to some politicians. I said, you guys are manipulating poverty to get into power. You are eating because these people, as Roger said, for elections, you just give them 5 bags of beans. They give you a vote. They vote out of hunger, not out of their mind. And as we pray for elections, let's pray not only for winners, but let people who have got their heart of people win. That's the message. I mean, we look at that. Praise the Lord. Let those who have got a heart of God, if you are here and you are a candidate here, if you don't have the heart for people, I don't wish you to win. I don't wish. It's not good to be a pastor preaching to hungry people. Oh, maybe you don't know that. Maybe you're not exposed to that. I'm telling you, maybe just in about a few months, we got a site in a new place. But where we got a site, it's a family. They're just giving us a site. They've got a big site. They don't have any how to build. So they say, we can give you this portion. But if you can help us, maybe just to have a house. I said, you give us this. As a church, we're going to build you just a house, even a 3-room to sleep. It's a widow with 3 children who are not schooling. Some don't have ID. No one is getting pension. No one is working, but they keep the next day breathing. You don't know how they breathe. Imagine those people are the members in the church. And these people, the government release money. They spend money on concert, on alcohol. When I stand in front of them, the grace stirs anger in me to say, you can't continue this way anymore. You deal with me before you can deal with them. I will stand on their side. Because, Bazalwan, when there's poor and the rich, God will take the side of the poor up until the poor is picked from poverty to rich. Amen. Let me just preach this about today. You know the message of grace. I think what makes us a team between this church and our church is the message of grace. Amen? I hope you understand. Since you understand the message of grace, I want to talk now the one with in Malachi. I know my minutes. Okay. Chapter 4. You just go to Malachi. I've got my brother there. You just put on the board. Oh, my God. Grace gives us an ability not to go back to old sins. Ooh, amen. Yeah. In fact, it helped me. Yo, man, you go free. Once I consume to the message of grace, I mean, it becomes an enabling love. You love God not out of fear of hell and all those things. We can assure you, once you are saved, you are saved. The message of grace will say there is no sin that will undo what Christ did in your life. But if you take that one and you continue smoking, no, when we preach against smoking, we are not saying we are going to hell. We are saying we are going to die early, not because we are going to hell. You are a child of God who is going to die early because of cancer. That's what we are preaching. Not because you are going to go to hell. No, you can choose maybe just to go to hell, but it's not what we're preaching. Praise the Lord. Let's go to this message. Oh, my goodness. My title is, But You. Come on, say, But Me. But Me. Oh, I love God when there are situations where He begins to say, I can see all this, but you. Let's just look at this one, Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 You can see it, thus they display. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. And that day is coming, will set them on fire, says the Lord. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. And verse 2, but for you, I love that. Let's say that. But for you. Have you seen verse 1? The environment, the setting of verse 1. But God still say, but as for you, who revere my name, who are consumed into grace, who have received the grace of God, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. In other words, while this day is coming with storm, is coming with fire, that looks like it's going to destroy everything, I'm saying to you, that day, the same day that is consuming, that is burning others, but to you, it comes a different message. It comes with power. As for you, praise the Lord. As for you, it's a different day. I'm saying, my brother and my sister, at times, even in our country, or wherever you stay, maybe in your village or maybe in your suburb, storms come even into our families. But God at times say, this storm is for others, not you. This storm, which you see, are taking this township, if maybe you come from any township. Yes, there is this crime. It's going to destroy. There is this flu. There is this word. It's coming to disturb and to destroy people. But you, that day will show other people who you are. Amen. Because even at work situation, some storms come. And even we as the children of God, we think we are going to die. But when God gives this message, he said, don't fear. Don't fear. This storm is coming, to eradicate evil. But as for you, you will remain. You will stand. Praise the Lord. You will remain. In other words, we are South African, but we are not all the same. When God looks at South Africa, he groups us. There are those and there are others. And when times come, even economic turmoil, he say, okay, the rain of this destruction is coming upon the country. It will take this away and it will leave this. Amen? Even in the family. You can be many in a family. And you see, maybe just there is a family curse. Maybe you guys maybe are not familiar with us. We are familiar as black people in our family. Where you find maybe in a family of 10, maybe only 2 are educated. The rest are not educated. The rest are not getting married. And maybe only 1 person get married. And then they begin to say, how did you get married? He said, I gave my love to the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? They're not going to church. They're not doing anything. And we said, look, what made the difference between you and your fellow brothers and sisters? It is the grace that came upon you. And for that, God said, even when these people are following a certain curse, but as for you, you are going to be saved from the destruction of the curse of your family. God will always, when there is turmoil, there is anything, maybe that's, destroying the nation. God has a soft heart for his children. Amen. He will say, yes, I can see you are crying. But as for you, don't think you are going to die in the storm. The storm, maybe you remember Paul and other friends. They lost everything, but as for their lives, said God, okay, I don't lose maybe anything, but as for you, you are going to arrive safe. Praise the Lord. The next scripture is Isaiah chapter 40. Praise the Lord. Every youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. The fact is what you see in our environment, in our communities. But those who hope in the Lord, amen? Oh, why, what are you saying, God? While other people are falling, but those who trust in the Lord, they receive ability, they receive the strength to develop. Praise the Lord. We are not idlers, we're human beings. But there are times when there is a storm or anything attacking us in any way, God will say, rather than for you who are called by my name to die here, I will give you the ability to rise up like idlers. Praise the Lord. To rise up like idlers. You are not, amen. In other words, God says, when there is dusty where you are, I will elevate you through grace. It will not be your own ability. It will be my ability as God to enable you to rise like eagle above your situation. They will cry, but you look at the situation. And they say, I thank God. That's where, at times say, you testify. And then somebody begin to say, I never thought I was going to survive. How did you survive? God, when they were falling, he came with enabling power, enabling force to rise you above the situation and give an endless view. Oh, my praise the Lord. In God can elevate you when there's turmoil around you and put you at a very high. You look at the problem with the endless view. Not like human when they look at this. And God, as his children, he will always just give us the evil views at times and situations. So that we come with prophetic messages. We come with messages of hope. And that's why they're amazed. We are not judging sins. But instead we are giving them hope. Why? Our view is not like this. It's like this. Praise the Lord. In chapter 60. Chapter 60, verse 1 to 2. Again, there is a comparison. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Well, see, verse 2. See, darkness covers the earth. Darkness covers the earth. And thick darkness, not only darkness, but thick darkness, is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Oh, how come? Everyone is talking the language. Say, on media, everywhere. Hey, man, there is darkness over the whole world. Darkness over the country. Yes. And the Lord say, I agree with you. There is darkness. But look what I'm going to do. When there is darkness, it will be the right time for me to show up about my children. Who my children is. When there is darkness, the glory is time for the glory of God to shine upon you. I cover you with glory. Amen. Oh, you survive, in deeper areas, maybe when there is witchcraft. They cry of witchcraft, and then you say, but I thank the Lord, I'm just fine. How come you are fine? Oh, the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. And you begin to say, at times God will allow situations that will confuse worldly people so that he will show off with his people. And to say, if you're on this side, you will not suffer this. So it's either you continue dying there, you perish there, or you move to the other side of glory. You receive grace of God, and you are self-sufficient. Amen. Can you travel in the Bible? You know the floods of Noah. the same water that killed people is the same water that saved Noah. Same water. That's how God works. I'll release the floods. You'll kill all the people. But as for you and your house, in the same flood, they will elevate you. Amen. While other people drowning, with the same, not with the other men, the same item that is killing people will elevate you. You'll survive. And that's why Peter, when he speaks about Noah, he don't speak as a flood. He says Noah was baptized. Amen. They were dying, lifting hands. Hey, help, help. And he said that at that time, it was Noah's baptism. Wow. The same water that killed people, the same water that baptized Noah. You go to Egypt. You remember when they crossed the Red Sea? You remember? The same sea, not the other sea. The same Red Sea. The children of God crossed it. The Egyptians got there. They died in the same sea that saved others. God is saying, don't always be amazed like the world. The same thing that is frustrating them, I can glorify you with. Come on, shout amen. In other words, you see, the message of grace gives us new eyes, new outlook. That's what grace must do. If I speak about grace and I still view things the same way, I've got problem. I will suffer the same way. Even people who are just living under law suffer. It's not about speaking about grace. It's about displaying grace in our lifetime. In our lifetime. And when we do that, God will make sure at the time of calamity, He lifts us up. Praise the Lord. I love God. These days, I think about two weeks ago, somebody said, hey, if you continue to preach like this, Baba, they're going to kill you. I said, really? I said, tell the people who want to kill you. You say, myself, when I preach, Naomi, I realize after I've preached. You see, my wife these days, when I preach, she records the sermon. She wants to help me to listen to the sermon at night. When I listen, at times I don't believe it's me. So I tell them, I say, look, when you give me the podium, I get consumed. Even myself, I don't know at times what I'm talking about. It is that the Spirit of the Lord moving. If they want to kill me, they must take away those scriptures in the Bible. Because you move me away, many people will rise and preach on the same scripture. Same. I spoke maybe just to the mayor, I said, and just municipal manager and others, I said, hey, I don't want to be threatened. You give me the Bible. You cannot threaten me. Don't intimidate me. I know the authority I have in the Word of God. Oh, amen. We need to know our authority. We need to take a stand without delay. When you get the platform, stand there and be the ambassador of Jesus Christ. And speak boldly with power. And without being arrogant, by the way. Without being arrogant, but speak the word. When you speak the word of grace, filled by the power of the Holy Ghost, they will hate you. But at the end, they will say, though we hate him, we need him. That's what happened with me. They hate me, but they need me. I was saying, so if you hate me, why do you call me to preach and open my prayers, maybe in a function? Oh, you hate me, but you need me. Okay, I'll just continue. Praise the Lord. I mean, when God favors you, it's like Isaac. during the time of dry season. He made a good harvest. How come? It's because God has got his favor upon his people. He said, though it's dry, but as for you, you will have a big harvest. Maybe in your life, maybe you're going through a dry season like maybe all other people. But God is saying to you, even before I pray, don't be alarmed like the world does. You have God, he has got a soft heart for you. He sees what you're going through. And in due time, he will lift you up. Those around you, they will say, surely the glory of the Lord is upon you. You don't have to despair, either economically or even in other ways. We just have to trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord will be elevated to get a high view of things. They will even just praise Lord in the midst of their storm. You are not even just going to wait up until the storm is over. You'll just worship like Paul and Silas. It was just the praise, their worship that break the chains of jail. And some of the situations are just going through. They just require you to continue just praising the Lord. Coming to church. Cooperating with the teaching. God and will say to you, one day he will say, behold, the old things have come and passed. Now I make things a new way. When I make things a new way, you'll see a lion and a lamb eating together. That's the Lord. Bazalwane, the grace of God, when it stays us, it will make us to love without pretense. The grace of God will teach us how to respond even to national debates about racism, about all these other things. We can't speak like the world does. We have been given a very high elevated level. We can't debate like the world do about the issues of race. Because if there are people who should understand it the most, we are the people who should guide the world. That is not about color. Who has ever gone to forest and fight with flowers for mixing colors? No one. But if we are just consumed into the politics and our history, believe me, the message of grace will never prevail in our life. We'll talk about grace up until we are consumed, and believe it, we will fulfill God's purpose. And if we fail to do that, we will be eradicated. And a new generation, they will understand that colors means nothing to God. But the spirit and the grace, what is deposited within you, is what matters. If it's our time, let's stand up and do that. Praise the Lord. As I conclude, the same fire that was burning people in Nebuchadnezzar's time in Babylon saved three men. They gave a new song inside the fire. The same lion who used to eat a lot of meat, of animals, even people, they fellowshiped with Daniel. When God favors you, when he say, but you, they will hate others. And they will say, how did you make it? God says, I will make you to be at peace even with your enemies. And I always say, I don't have enemies. Rather, I am the enemies maybe to others. But I don't have. And I mean it. I hate no one. I don't have a space. Because grace teaches you even how to forgive. Before you get the message of grace, when somebody sins you, you want the person to come and apologize. Can I tell you bad news? If you wait for somebody to come and apologize to you, you might even die before he comes. You see that? You might even die before he comes. The message of grace will say, it's you who is under arrest. You just initiate the forgiveness. Offended as you are. I know we are hurt, many of us, through relationships and otherwise. But God will say, if there is anything between you and somebody that makes you not live well, take an initiative. Go there. Release yourself. Have no shelf for grudges. Don't keep anyone the wrong way. If you keep anybody, have a lot of shelves of love. And not one category, different categories of shelves. To love even alcoholics. Because out of them, there might be good evangelists. And even people might come to church and make an impact. I don't know about you, as I pray now. I say about you. That's what the Lord says. All things may happen. Evil things, which we always see. Crime and everything. Like in our area, where we were just praying, maybe that's about 2 weeks ago. Car trafficking, drug trafficking. They know we're just along the border. We keep on praying. They get into a home, they break the home, they kick, they take the cars, they burn with people with iron, they put electric shocks, they take the car, take your belongings. We see those evil. But in the middle of that, we have these messages that say, even if you see this, but as for you, but you, I bring the power in my wings to save you in this situation. I'm not going to die in this. Saying to you, all the evil you see is not to kill you. Some of those things are there to elevate you, to tell other people who you are, because they define you in the wrong way. By the way, you are not even what you think you are. You are what God says you are. Can we shout amen? Shall we stand up as we pray? I don't know about you, but I wish just to pray, to say in your situation, God says, but you, and he calls you by name. God says in his word, Psalm 34 verse 19, many are the afflictions of the saints, but what God does, he delivers them out of all. You take that message with you. No matter what I'm going through, but God's promises are yes and amen. He will take me out of this. David says, I was in the pit, in a muddy clay in the pit. I call upon the name of the Lord. He bowed himself. He lifted me out of the muddy clay. And he set my foot on a solid ground. After that, I got a new song. A song to praise the Lord. I'm saying in your situation, you are going to have a new song. No matter what you're going through now, there is a day for a new song. For each and every one of you is going through something. Shall we lift our hands and we pray? Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is a wonderful day, Lord, you have made. Your word is always true. Let our thinking be lie and the word be true. Let everything we are taught by our environment and our history be a lie. And let what your word says this morning be true. That we are your chosen generation. We are of the royal priesthood. In every situation you don't allow us to die. You always elevate us. You give us glory. You cover us with your glory. You give us the ability we don't have on our own, even to fight against corruption. You give us an ability to rise up, to defend even the weak, to speak against evil and corruption, You give us an ability, my God, to change the environment where we are. Thank you, Lord, for the message of grace. We display it, my God, in our streets. They will see it, and your word says, they will come from afar and come to your light. At the moment, it's like, my God, our light is darkness. But one thing for sure, our light will shine upon us. They will realize that you have been with us and you are with us because you want to shine the last and shine forever. I speak, my God, your glory and your favor upon this family. In the name of Jesus, they're just going through economic turmoil, my God. But we thank you, Lord, they are not going to die in that storm. We have said, but you, yes, the economy has affected the whole world, but as of your children, you are saying, but you are not going to die in that situation. Thank you, Lord. You love us, our Lord. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for enabling force of love. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory for the abundance you've provided for your children, even for this church, my Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give God